Jenna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Welcome to Happy Hour with lawyer and TV personality Jenna Spilbor and author and inspirational speaker Carol Pesci. Happy Hour comes your way every Sunday morning at this time with life advice, real conversations, and awesome interviews with self-help heavy hitters, best-selling authors, celebrities, and more. Would you like to maybe live better, stress less, and laugh more? Then you've come to the right place.
Good morning and welcome back to Happy Hour. It's Jenna Spilbor. It is Carol Pesci. It is some guy named Frankenberry, and we have ourselves another show. After our post-Memorial Day weekend repeat, we are back with a fresh one and a new guest later on today.
We got a fresh one already.
Yeah, we got a fresh one already. All right. And a guest today that I think you're going to find very interesting.
Oh, definitely. Today, we are going to be talking with an author and coach, and also a person who began her career in television. So that's something that's a little near and dear to my heart. But when we come back from our break later, we're going to be speaking with Steph Zieb. She is the author of a brand new book that just dropped called The Choice Is Yours, A Simple Approach to Live and Lead with More Joy, Ease, and Purpose. Now, that's a nice long title for you, Frankenberry. I knew you would appreciate that.
You know how much I love them, their long titles.
Yes, you do. And I got to tell you guys, I'm in the middle of the book and I am loving it. And I'll save this for when we speak with Steph, but she begins the book with a little story involving Tony Robbins.
Yeah, who found that interesting.
Oh, yeah. Great. That's even more exciting for Frankenberry.
You might appreciate it, of all people, Frankenberry. Mm-hmm. So I'll leave that hanging.
Okay. And I just came up with an idea, by the way, from my own book. Speaking of long book titles, what do you think about this? It's a tiny book, okay? Just tiny book. And the title is really, really long, but that is actually the entire book and the pages are empty.
So it's just a title.
It's just a really long title that explains everything you want to say in a nutshell, and the pages are empty. Feel free to doodle on them.
I think your publisher is going to really appreciate that.
Okay. Well, I'm trying to remember. Somebody did something like that, and it was like a satirical thing, and it was something like everything a woman needs to know about a man or something, and I really don't remember exactly what it was, but it really was blank inside, and it was hysterical, but it sold a whole bunch. I'm trying to remember what it was. We can do that. You write the title, I'll publish the book.
You write the long title, I'll publish the book. That sounds good. All right.
You and your publisher. That's a good idea. So, just because we have to squeeze in a few things before Steph gets here, I thought of something actually just this morning, a new segment for the show that I'd like to introduce to you both. And I even wrote a little jingle for it.
Okay.
So if you guys are open to new production elements, I'll explain.
I'm open, wide open.
Of course, sure.
Okay. So the segment is going to be called How Mad Should Jenna Be? And here's the jingle. No, it's pretty
here's
great.
The jingle.
So you really go out on a limb for this segment, but go ahead.
Here's the little intro jingle for it. Are you ready? You got to listen up. Okay. Segment's going to be called How Mad Should Jenna Be? And then we'll launch into it after the jingle. Okay. Ready? Here we go.
Will you hear me? I said, get off my lawn now.
You need to hear it again.
Oh, my.
Well, I don't think it's whether we need to or not, because I know you're going to anyway.
Is that all Clint right. Eastwood saying, get off my lawn, and then like a rubber ducky?
So it's Clint Eastwood in that movie saying, get off my lawn. But because I'm a production expert, I made it like repeat itself. Like I was trying to do like, you know, needle on the record, like zit, but I didn't know how to do that really on my iPhone. But I tried. And then just to make everyone laugh, I put a little rub ducky at the end. Here, I'll play it again. Okay. But this is what we should do. Let's be real. This is a real segment. Okay. So we'll be like, ladies and gentlemen, coming up next, our favorite segment, How Mad Should Jenna Be?
Did you hear me? I said, get off my lawn now. Get off my lawn.
Yeah, that rubber ducky, that's the capper right there.
It's so stupid. Nothing bad.
Okay.
But I love it.
Did we vote? All right, so we voted. We're gonna how mad should John be? And that's gonna be our jingle. All right. So let's launch into the new segment, shall we?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah,
what
happened?
I will explain the scenario, and when I get done explaining, you guys can vote on how mad should Jonna be, and that'll be that. And if
can I predict what happened?
Sure.
Someone knocked on your door.
Oh, you're good, you. You're good.
I was going to say, Carol, you're pretty good at this predicting Jonna stuff, so I had confidence in you.
I know, my girl.
She predicted it because I gave her a clue.
You did.
In my, you know how every time we log in, I'm not myself. I create some sort of name. And my name today was a clue for Curly. So, okay, I'll explain and then you guys can vote. Okay.
And just to let you know, by the way, I'm just noticing now what name you logged in on.
So you're finally paying attention.
Are you going to share with our listeners so it doesn't get annoying that they're not in the loop?
I logged in today as I put in parentheses the word don't. And then after that, in all caps, I put knock, knock. So get it? Like, don't knock, knock.
Yeah.
And
get it.
That is a clue. That is a clue. Okay. So here's the scenario. And for those who don't know, during the week, I am a creature of comfort. And I will occasionally put myself to bed fairly early because, you know, I have to get up early. I got a lot of things going on during the day. And I kind of like to veg and watch TV, like especially the cooking shows or what have you. That's my downtime. So I don't go to bed as early as my parents. Like, they'll go to bed while the sun's still out, but pretty darn close. Like, as soon as the sun sets, like, boop, jammies on. Bed for Bonzo. Okay. So that's during the week. So it was a Tuesday to be specific. And I was, you know, watching mindless cooking shows. It was about 9:30, 9:40, 9:45 p.m. on a Tuesday, a school night. My house is completely dark because I'm in bed, but for the din of my television, which, you know, you could probably see if you were in my driveway, you might be able to see that my bedroom television was on, but my house is set back. So it's not like everybody can see it, but the house is dark. It's a Tuesday, 9:45 p.m. I'm laying in bed and all of a sudden I say to myself, self, did I just hear my doorbell ring? So since I'm in my jammies, I got on my phone to look at my cameras, and sure enough, there's a dude standing on my porch at 9:40 p.m. on a Tuesday. And listen, guys, when I say my porch light, which normally is on, somehow got shut off. Like, it was totally dark. He's standing there, and I'm watching him on my phone on the security camera, and he's not just like, okay, I'm trying to sum up the situation. Like, he doesn't seem that there's an emergency. Like, he's not like, bang, 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 help, help, help. He's just standing there, hands in his pocket, looking through the side lights, the big windows on the side of my door.
I would have freaked out.
I was freaking out. Now, I don't know who he is. It's kind of dark, so I can't see, like, features and stuff. And he is there for quite a while. So what does he do? He rings my doorbell again. He's there. Yes.
Can you communicate through the camera?
So it's not it's not like a ring. So I can't communicate. But what I could have done and what I didn't do and what I should have done is I can activate my alarm, which alerts the police, which is a loud alarm. Like, I can alert my security system. I didn't do that. I was just so mesmerized by what is this guy doing on my porch at this hour on a school night when clearly nobody's awake.
And it's not an emergency. What the heck?
It's not an emergency. And I am saying to myself, now look, if all the lights were on and I was, you know, and you guys were over and we're out on the deck and somebody wants to come over and say something, that's fine. But when you clearly see that either no one is home or no one is available, let's put it that way, unless there is an emergency, why would you bang on somebody's door at 9:40 at night? So now I'm just mesmerized and I'm watching him, and he finally leaves, and I watch him walk across. He gets like halfway across my driveway, heading toward the neighbor's house. Now, sidebar, which neighbor? The neighbor that operates the Airbnb.
The Airbnb.
Right? So I see him walk halfway across my driveway. He stops. He turns around like he's going to come and ring my doorbell yet again. But he thinks better of it. And then he goes back across to the neighbor's yard. Now, what is going on at the neighbor's house at the time? I have my window slightly open. I can hear that they're having a little bonfire like they do 365 nights of the year. They have a little bonfire, but it's not like crazy. They're not being crazy loud. They're not, it's not a party. It's just a little gathering. And he walks and people are laughing and joking. So it was clearly not an emergency. That's all I know. And to this day, I don't know what he wanted, if he lives there, if he doesn't live there, if he was a guest, if he was a family member. I don't know any of that. But I do have questions. And that is, number one, if it was not an emergency, and I guarantee you it wasn't, what would prompt anybody under those circumstances to walk onto someone's property at 9:45 on a school night and hang out and look in their house and ding their doorbell when it's obvious nobody
pick me,
is
pick me pick me
girl in the back yes girl
Curly.
In the back
Curly.
He wanted to invite you to the party so you wouldn't complain about the noise.
You're on the same page as me. That's what I was thinking as well. But the next question though, Jonna, is did you ask your neighbors about this whole situation, because the guy walked back to their place?
Right. And the answer is no, because I don't have my neighbor's phone number. I actually went to,
and they're never there because they're always renting it out, right?
They're never there. And I went to the Airbnb site figuring, well, maybe their phone number is on the Airbnb site, and their phone number is not. In order to contact them, you've got to, like, I don't know, send an email or sign up or something. So I have not had a chance to ask them what that was about. I will give you an update to the story that I have seen that who I think is that same person. I think I saw him again a few days after that, kind of like working in the yard, but not.
So could that person be the owner, that they were there themselves?
No, that person, it was definitely not the owner.
Oh, okay.
I know who the owners are. And I'm still annoyed by it, even though it was like a week ago. So I ask you, under those circumstances, how mad should Jonna be? Do you want to hear the theme song again, or you think you're good?
No, I got the theme song.
Yeah, theme song's good. We got that picture.
But I'm serious. Uh-huh.
To me, it's like equally a little skeeved out and nervous, along with being angry.
So we're talking like a scale of 1 to 5 kind of thing here?
1 to 10.
1 to 10. Okay.
I would say, all right, so I'm going to give it a 10 for being disturbed and equal parts angry and a little nervous about it. Okay. Oh, nice. So 5 scared, 5 mm-hmm. angry adds up to a disturbed number of total of 10.
Uh-huh. Frankenberry, now you're a dude, so you might not. I was a little scared, to be honest with you.
I would be.
Well, no, I mean, that would certainly creep me out. Somebody just standing there in the dark because my porch light isn't on. But I would probably go with on the creeped out, the 6 or 7. And then I'd probably go with, on the scared. I'm sorry, the scared more like a 6 or 7 and the creeped out more like a 5. So, I'm around the same rating as Carol. Yeah.
Yeah, I think you guys are spot on, because I will say after that, and look, I am no shrinking violet, but after that, I said to myself, I've got to sleep with one eye open, because I don't know if they're partying and he's just being weird. I don't know. And I was kind of afraid to go back to sleep, or afraid to go to sleep, because I just didn't know what the hell was going on. So, yeah, but note to self, people out there, if you are a neighbor and you see that your neighbor has turned their lights off, I don't care whether you've run out of beer, you need a bottle opener, you need a cup of sugar, go find another way to get it, because that's just kind of, it is a little bit rude. Again, if the lights were on and there was activity, different story. Lights off, no activity, no knocky.
It's a bit creepy. I mean, you're kind of famous, Jonna. Like, that's a little creepy.
Well, I didn't like, and I did record him. Like, he was literally looking through the windows. It wasn't like, if you're on somebody's try not to look inside because it's a little bit. He was clearly looking.
Ew.
Well, again, do you now? You, I know you said you don't see them very often. You don't have their phone number. Do you have any way to contact your neighbors just to ask them if this was a B&B guest and they were having a little shindig?
Well, we know that.
Well, yeah, but I mean, just to ask them if they know if he's been there before.
You know, I don't know if they'll be able to. They've had so many people in that house. I mean, I guess
if you give them a date, they'll know who was there.
Could show them the video. Yeah. But then I think I should have their phone number. Like I should make them give me their phone number, you know, just for that reason. Just because, you know, like I was going to tell them, I don't want to be part of your guest's experience. Okay. It's bad enough. It's bad enough. I got to listen to the music and I got to smell the bonfire smoke 365 days a year, but I'm not, you know, I don't have any extra towels and you know what I mean? So yeah. So make sure you stock up so I don't have to build a moat or a fence. And I know I'm being, and that's why I'm being cranky. And that's why my, our theme song is the Clint Eastwood, Get Off My Lawn. I realize I'm being cranky about this, but it's my right.
John, no, understood.
I don't know what you call it, but do you remember the old Looney Tunes commercials? Not commercials, cartoons. When they wanted to hear something that was far away, they put this like big horn up to their
ear. Yeah.
Like, I'm sure he went back and said, oh, she didn't answer or blah, or whatever. Like, hear them better. You'd know what he was thinking.
Well, speaking of cartoons, I'm thinking maybe right around where your porch light is, Jonna, have a Wile E. Coyote anvil.
Oh, yeah. All rigged up.
So, yeah. So if the lights are off.
With a quick release.
Yes, exactly. And they hit that door, you know, that doorbell, boom, down comes the anvil.
Well, and oh, and you know what? And then you can do that like police tape outlining a body right where they're standing and they look down and oh,
yeah, exactly.
This is what happened to the last guy that rang the doorbell.
Right. And the last thing they hear before that anvil hits them in the head is meet, meet.
You know, it would be very easy for me to rig up a booby trap anvil because I think I could do that.
Well, you know what? The good news is the choice is yours. You have lots of options.
Well, it's kind of like, remember when we were going to do the...
Oh, my God. I dropped it.
Oh. All right. Wait a minute. Okay. Hold on. Wait.
It was so good. You didn't even know it.
I need you to just stay right there for a minute because I just want to say one thing. Then we're going to come back to that.
Okay.
I just want to say, in terms of anvils, remember when we invented the thing that was going to come out of the front of the vehicle?
When somebody
was annoying you, that was like a big, boxing glove,
boxing mitt. Yeah,
yeah.
Like you pull on a lever inside the car, and it would fly out. Boom.
Yeah, boom. Yeah. It's along those lines. So since I invented that, the anvil is a walk in the park.
That is a good point. Of all your million-dollar ideas, yes, an anvil should be a fairly simple one for you to fashion up.
But now, and what were you saying, Curly? What's mine?
The choice is yours. You have lots of options.
Oh, yes. Yes, it is. Isn't that something? Speaking of choices.
Mary's moaning.
take it away, Spielberg.
Speaking of choices, when we come back from the break, we're speaking with, as previously mentioned, author and coach Steph Ziev, who's just dropped her, I think it's her first book, actually. Don't quote me on that. The Choice is Yours, a simple approach to live and lead with more joy, ease, and purpose. Steph Ziev, when we come back.
All right, that is what we have on the way. You have Jonna Spielberg and Carol Pesci, and we will be right back with Steph as our guest this morning. So please stick around.
Jonna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Live better, laugh harder. It's Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And welcome back again to Happy Hour here. It's John Spielberg, Carol Pesci, and myself. And it's time now to get to our guest for this morning, Steph Ziev. And good morning to you, Steph. And Jonna, you have a little bit of some bio information for Steph?
Yes. I'm going to tell you guys a little bit about Steph Ziev, who we're going to apologize because, Steph, we did mispronounce your name earlier in the show. But it is Steph Ziev, and she is a former TV executive turned certified life and executive coach coach and author of a brand new book entitled The Choice Is Yours, A Simple Approach to Live and Lead with More Joy, Ease, and Purpose. Since starting her coaching practice way back in 2007, Steph has worked with thousands of successful and driven professionals, executives, leaders, and organizations in the field of entertainment, law. I could stop right there because those are my two favorite fields, marketing, financial services, accounting, engineering, and talent delivery at companies, including, are you ready for these tiny little companies?
I'm ready.
The New York Times, no one's ever heard of it. Google, what's that? American Express, Viacom, NBC Universal, Pearl Vision, and many, many more. She has appeared as a guest expert on the Today Show, Good Morning America, and on iHeartRadio and on SiriusXM. Hold on, I am not done.
Oh my gosh.
Steph's goal is to help us navigate the ever-changing world with conscious choice and empower us to bring more attention to the choices we make so that we have more agency over the results we create. This is going to be a phenomenal talk. Steph, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I love your enthusiasm. I appreciate that.
Steph, do you sometimes listen to people introduce you like that and go, wow, kind of a big deal.
Who is that?
what I left out, just because we only have 20 minutes, is you did a lot of work for Oxygen. I do some contribution to Oxygen, which I love. On their, they have Snapped and Killer Couples, and I do those kind of fun true crime stuff. So we have, so we're kindred. We're kindred.
I'll tell you a fun fact. I actually named Snapped.
Did you really?
I was a development executive at Oxygen back in the day when it was still Oprah and it was still women's empowerment. It's very different now. But that was our one crime show, and it was about women who snap. And so that was the title.
How cool is that?
That is so fun. And it's people love that show. I can't tell you how many people that I know have said to me, I was awake at 3 o'clock in the morning and I heard your voice. And it turns out they're watching Snapped at 3 a.m.
That is brilliant. Yes, I know all the players that brought that show to life. So that's amazing. I can't believe it's still on.
And people eat it up. What a small world. But we are here to talk about your fabulous book, which just dropped. And as I think we were talking off the air, I love, you know, we're knee deep into the book, and I love how you open it with a story about Tony Robbins. And I say that because we've talked about Tony Robbins many times on this show. I've done a couple of his programs myself. But your story is unique because you're like, you know what? I don't know if I want to walk on fire, which is one of the things that Tony Robbins is famous for. So tell us about that. And why did you open the book with that story, which I think is a great story?
Yeah. Well, I know I can't say the word, but the title of that intro is it starts with an F and it, then there's a U and it's Firewalk. But the, you know, listen, it's not really about Tony Robbins, right? It is about the fact that I left my body completely. I made what I would consider a choice that was not in service to me. And I made it from a totally unconscious place. And after I did walk on the fire, I was terrified to do so. No, there wasn't a part of me that wanted to do it. Yet I felt swept up in the pressure of the 5,000 people chanting, yes, 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 that everybody gets to do this. And I really thought that someone was going to stop me. I put my power to Tony Robbins. I gave my power to the people who were standing at the front of that Firewalk, who were not going to quote let me walk on the fire unless I was in state, which is a whole other thing. And I thought, well, they'll stop me because I can't stop myself, right? I don't have a choice in this matter. There were lots of things that I felt like I should do this because I was in a terrible state of mind, and I felt like this was the only thing that would get me out of my, you know, my funk, quite frankly. And then I did it and I completely defied myself. And I was and I thought I really hurt myself, and I was pissed. And it was a wake up call in some way. I say in the book, like, it, you know, the program was called Unleash the Fire Within. I had two comments about that. One, I thought they should rename it to Unleash the Power Within and give it to Tony Robbins.
Yep, I love that line.
And then the other part was, you know, that the fire was ignited in me, but not the kind I had anticipated, right? Because I was angry. I was angry at myself. I was angry at the program. I was angry at Tony. I was angry at the people who didn't stop me. And then the wake-up call was, I still was the one that made the choice to walk across that fire. And that was a complete misstep on my part. I was totally out of alignment with my deeper truth, because I was, the way I think about it is, you know, the part of me that was making that choice was the part that felt less than, was the part that did not feel empowered, was the part that, you know, felt like I had to follow the crowd instead of listening to my, you know, the truth within me. And so that was a big transformational moment that had me really look at the choices that I was making and the results that I was getting, and were they aligned?
And then you made it up to yourself because you left the conference early.
No, well, not as early as I, you know, could have.
But you know? You still did.
I did. Eventually I got to a point, you know, I had spent like 3 days there. I had the worst stomach ache. I felt like I didn't know anyone in the sea of 5,000 people. It was the loneliest, and it was like one of the worst experiences of my life. And I suddenly was like, oh, I don't need to stay here anymore. I realized I'm not chained to the chair. The doors are not locked. I'm free to go. And finally I made the choice to leave. Yes. But it took me 4 days.
But you know, Steph, and this is how life is funny, that was a very uncomfortable situation. You were very upset. You were angry with everyone around you, which primarily was because you were angry with yourself because you didn't follow your own instinct and make your own choice. And at the same time, it was a gift because it was an absolute eye-opener, a turning point. Like, would you be offering the coaching and the advice and all the things you are now had you not fully experienced what you did?
Yeah, it's a great point. And, you know, they always say you're going to get whatever you need, you know?
Like, right.
You know? So most people in my experience at that event were having this, you know, they were just having this extraordinary experience and getting all that they needed. And they were the true disciples. I got a different thing, you know, and I didn't even know the extent that I really, like, I don't know that I really fully got what I got from it until a year or more later. I was in a leadership training program. I was a participant, and there was a ropes course, and I tell this story too. And I was like, no, well, I've learned my lesson from Tony. I am not doing this ropes course. A ropes course is, you know, those team building things, right? Where you're climbing up what they call a pamper pole, because people, you know, it's just terrifying, right? And it's like being like a trapeze artist with no experience and trusting the people around you are going to, you know, not let you fall. But I was like, I'm not going to do this. It was the instructor in that scenario but I didn't know how I was going to get out of it. And then the instructor said, this is how we're going to do things. You're going to stand in front of each element. You're going to say, my name is, and I choose to do this event. And I was like, light bulb. And so in front of each element, in front of all my peers who I was in this leadership program with. And I said, my name is Steph. And I am choosing not to do this event. And they looked at me. They looked at me with like a mixture of resentment and envy. And yep. I was, yeah, yep. This is what it is. Like, I made the choice, even in the face of this, what could have been peer pressure. And it was because I really was clear that this was not what was aligned for me. And sometimes that can feel so upsetting to other people. And it really is about thyself in some way. What is best for us is ultimately best for others. And so that's the place that I really want to encourage people to think about their choices from.
I love both of those stories because it's something, you know, one of the things I love about so many of our guests is you can hone in on something and give everyone who's listening a light bulb moment on something that is just so simple as saying no. And you were just honoring your truth and you didn't worry about what others were going to think of you. You didn't worry about any of that. You worried about what you were going to think of you in a good way. And I just think that's phenomenal when you can do that and not worry about saving face or whatever it is that people worry about when they go along with the crowd just for going along with the crowd's sake. And I think you pointed out, like, step one is you don't have to do that. You're your crowd. are your crowd.
Step two, you guys remember the story? I think the guy's name was James Allen. He was in the original movie, The Secret. And I think he ended up going to prison.
James Arthur Ray.
That's it.
I think about that story. I actually had that story in that chapter originally. Do you want to say what it is? Do you want?
Well, and I may remember it better than me, but they went to a similar type event, a Tony Robbins, a transformational event. People were sweating it out in tents, a very, very hot tents, and people overheated and died. Yeah. And they shamed them for wanting to get out of the tent.
It was James Arthur Ray. He was it was a sweat lodge and people were in there and it wasn't done properly. And he was the leader and, you know, but it's, I also say, like, know the person who is asking you to do something. This is a guy who had gone to the Amazon and was like, you know, drank things called like the death serum or something. And, you know, because it would like give him the experience of dying and coming back, like, know thy guru or thy leader, right? Like, and then make choices. But I think about that story all the time because at the time what freaks me out is like, would I have not allowed myself to leave that because I didn't want to disappoint or because I was thinking I was I was too weak or I wasn't pushing myself. And that's exactly what happened. There's a high level of manipulation that we can be susceptible to. And it's so vital that we are, you know, whether it's something that, you know, a boss wants you to do or a guru is asking you to do or a friend, you know, it's really so vital that you come back and say, what is best and right for me? You know, what is my choice? And I like to think about it like this. I say to my clients all the time, whether you do it or don't do it, choose it. If everything is a choice, what will you choose? And that could be as simple as I'm choosing to not go to the gym. Because what does that do? It alleviates the inner rebel, right? If our inner rebel doesn't have a job, then we get to relax into our choice. And then maybe we'll want to choose differently. But I just feel everything really is a choice. And if we use that language, we will start to free ourselves.
So, right. I know. She's like, you get both of us like at a loss for words. That never happens.
No, Carol's right. Carol's right about that. That never happens.
We're just processing because it's like, wow. Yes.
It is like, wow. I'm having a several wow moments. So, I think part of the reason is, you know, people can resonate with this. Like, it is all about your personal choice. Part of the problem for people when they're struggling with it is they don't know how to communicate that, like, so you know,
that's a good point.
You communicated it in a crowd, and I bet you there were other people in all your situations that probably wanted to not do, whether it was the firewalk or whether it was the rope, they probably wanted to be with you, but they didn't know how to communicate it. Do you have tips for how people can get over that so they can communicate clearly what they want, what their choice is?
It's a really important point. And, you know, I wish I had a magic bullet. I don't. I'm not going to sit here and say that this is a simple process, that you just, you know, it's one and done. This is a practice. The book is really designed. It's written in a way that's very practical. It's written, like, my concepts can be a little deep. My mother doesn't understand a few of my concepts, I'll be honest. I don't understand. But, Mom, all right, it's not for you. But I do think that the very first, if you do nothing else, I invite you to observe without judgment. what part of you is, I like to say, sitting at the head of your table. You know, if we think about, we all have these a million parts of us that are sitting around this proverbial table within us, right? So if you think, instead of family and friends around for a dinner party, it's all these different aspects of us. It can be, you know, we all have happy and sad. We all have confident and doubt. We all have love and fear. Some of us have the pleaser or the martyr. I have perfectionist. You know, there's the, you know, we also have stuff from our childhood, right? It might be the peacekeeper or the black sheep. Like, there's all these different aspects of us that are sitting around the table at any given moment. The question is always, who's sitting at the head of the table? What part of us is actually the authority in that moment? And inside the authority is the word author. And what part, like, so if that part is the authority, what story is that part authoring? It's the usually like, I should do this or I shouldn't do that or my too. So if you can observe without judgment and be a neutral witness to whatever part is sitting at the head of the table and just continue that to be mindful, that will help to interrupt these old unconscious patterns and help us make more conscious choices. And one of those choices might be, I am choosing to either, you know, allow this part to make a choice and know that there's a consequence for that, or I'm choosing to replace my perfection with acceptance. And I'm bringing that part to the head of the table. And then I'm going to make a choice as acceptance versus as perfection. Does that make
brilliant? 100%. It's brilliant.
Well, you can tell it to my mother.
And let her know. And I've written about this very similar topic in a book I wrote called Hello Beautiful, and I called it Your Board of Directors. And I was coming at it from a little bit of a different angle, where when we reconcile with all aspects of ourselves, because every aspect of ourselves deserves a seat at the table, it contributes to who we are, and when we fight against it or argue with it, we actually create resistance and give more power to it. But it's a very similar concept to just work coherently. You have this board of directors. You have all these valid, real aspects of yourself. And what you're saying also is you get to choose who's running the show in each instance, because what you're doing in this moment with this person or this situation may not be who you want to take the lead tomorrow with somebody else.
Exactly. And what I offer to people, to my clients, I do it. It's on your phone. You can actually set an alarm with a label whether you do it as a reminder, but you can, I have people schedule every 2 to 4 hours, an alarm that goes off that says who's sitting at the head of the table.
Oh my God.
It helps to interrupt what is inevitably going to be a hijacking. Like, we are autopilot go doers in this world. You know, so many of my clients are not even taking meal or bio breaks right now. And then they're completely hijacked by whatever part that is. So if there's a way which it makes sense for you to, you know, interrupt yourself, whether it's that alarm, or I actually have a client who has some app that actually you can actually record your voice in there. So it's like your voice being like, who's sitting at the head of the table?
And I love this.
He interrupts it. And then there's nothing to do except just observe. And eventually, you know, there will be spaciousness for you to make a different choice if that's what you choose.
Which is what you're doing, is helping us make very conscious choices.
Yes. Because I really believe that it is the energy that we bring to a situation that gets infused into the action that we take, which creates our results. So when people are saying, well, I want to lose 10 pounds, or I want to run that marathon, or I want to be in a relationship, or I want a promotion. Okay. But if it's not occurring, then we get to go back to the front of that story and say, who's sitting at the head of the table? If it's doubt sitting at the head of the table, and then that might be the reason you're not getting that promotion, you know? And so it would be wise to really consider what part, like, what's keeping you from that result, and who are you, who's sitting at the head of the table making choices that might either be helping you to get there or keeping you from getting there.
See, I like that too, because, you know, people often think that they talk themselves, you can talk yourself out of doing something, or you can talk yourself into doing something. And those are two, I think, you know, very different things. If you're going to talk yourself out of asking for a promotion, then you're not going to get it. If you talk yourself into asking for a promotion, then you got a much better chance. And it's just as simple as deciding what you're going to talk yourself into doing. And again, talking yourself into anything is a choice.
Yeah.
I know that you talk in your book about, you talk a lot about burnout, which is a subject near and dear to my heart, but you also talk about how to get present. And I just want to share, like, I have recently learned how to take as little as 5 minutes and think about nothing but the moment, whether it's the breeze, whether it's the sunshine, whether it's whatever. And I schedule time to sit there and do nothing but what is, and not worry about what I haven't done, not worry about what I got to do, not worry about what I ate yesterday. I don't worry about any of it. And that is so liberating because it really gives you a mental break from all the things that kind of cloud your mind. And people should, I guess you guys might call it meditation.
I was just going to say that. She's meditating, but doesn't want to admit it or say the word.
I love it. I mean, but that's, however, I mean, I hear you. I think that that is, I think getting present is it's so simple in theory and can be so challenging in practice.
Yes, exactly. You said it better than I ever could, because it is, it sounds simple, but it really, you gotta focus on being present. And sometimes that can be hard.
Well, also, but I would say you don't have to do anything. You can choose it, right? And then that's liberating too. And also, even just the story, like you just said, and that's hard. Like, I try not to use that word unless I'm like climbing Mount Everest, which I'm never going to do. But, you know, even that, that's just so part of our vernacular. People say, like, this is so hard. This is so hard. I don't even think people hear themselves say, my clients say it all the time. I'm like, is it really hard? Are you just, is that a story? Right? Are you choosing hard right now? And if you're choosing hard, why not choose ease? Like, what's the difference? Why do we say worst case scenario? Why not say best case scenario? Why is the news negative versus positive? Like, you know, we make things up. And then we, you know, it's like, if we say this is hard, guess what our mind starts to focus on?
Oh, yeah.
Right. So what we think about, we become. So if we think about things as choices, or we think about things as ease, or we think about things as joyful, or we, and this is not that it's like, be toxic positivity either. I'm not about that.
Oh, I agree with you.
Yeah. I mean, feel your feelings and, you know, yeah, and have your moment, and then really just acknowledge that the choice is yours.
Steph, where do you live?
New York City.
You're going to be our new best friend.
Oh, are you in
exactly
New York?
Where I was going.
Are you guys in the, are you in the city?
Well, Jonna lives there part-time, and I'm hour, little over an hour away.
We're in the Hudson Valley 80% of the time, but
well, come down and let's have lunch.
Oh, we're stalking you, sister.
Oh, I love it. Oh no, I definitely this conversation must go on.
Yes. We're gonna choose to come down to the city and have cocktails.
I love it. I'm all
we
about
we choose you, Steph.
I choose you guys. Let's do it.
That'd be great. All right. Well, I guess on that note, since we do have to wrap up here, I can't encourage everybody enough to grab. Steph, is this your first book ever?
Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
This is really incredible. And I promise you, and it's just, like I said, it's so simple, but it's going to be life-changing for so many people. And once again, we're talking with Steph Ziv. She's just written her very first book, The Choice Is Yours, A Simple Approach to Live and Lead with More Joy, Ease, and Purpose. It is fantastic. And I love that even though it's brand new, it's available as an audiobook, because that's how I consume all of my stuff. Steph, this has been wonderful. If people want to connect with you, we're going to promote. I know you're all over social media, but you're just all over social media as Steph, S-T-E-F, Ziv, which is Z-I-E-V, right? That's how people can find you?
Yes, yes. And my website is the same thing. Yep, stephziv.com. And the audiobook, you can hear me. I'm doing the audiobook. So if you, this is the voice.
Love it.
Yeah, which is very fun. Thank you so much for joining us. This has been
great. Thank you, Steph.
My goodness. Thank you, guys. I'm so grateful. I really appreciate you choosing to have me on. Thank you.
And Steph, I'm going to hark back to what you said earlier about walking on fire and just your approach to everything. Just saying that it was a misstep.
Yes.
To step on fire was just a misstep. I like that.
I chose a misstep.
And I chose to remember it as just a misstep and not use Frankenberry's favorite expletive instead. So,
yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for joining us, Steph. And we're not done with Happy Hour just yet. We've got more with Jonna Spilbor and Carol Pesci. So please stick around. We'll be right back.
Jonna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Laugh more, stress less. It's Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And one more time here with Happy Hour this morning. It's Jonna Spilbor and Carol Pesci. Hello, ladies.
Hello, Frankenberry.
Well, it was nice to talk to Steph Ziv there.
Oh, my God.
And I know I can tell that you two really enjoyed this conversation.
We're going to stalk her like she thinks we're kidding.
I do have to say, Carol, I do like the way you just so bluntly said, oh, by the way, Steph, where do you live?
Oh, yeah. No, I should have lowered my voice. I should have done it like that.
Exactly.
Pause in between. Yes. By the way, Steph, where do you live?
Yeah.
Right?
I just think it was so cool to talk to, you know, and sometimes we do stalk our guests before they become guests. And sometimes they have people who find us. This was a really good match. I think this is a really great show and our audience is going
to
love it.
I can't wait to finish her book.
I know. Me either. And I just love when simple things smack you in the face and make your life better. And that's kind of how I feel about her book. And like I said, I'm only knee deep into it, but good stuff.
Yeah, she was amazing, Jonna. Yeah, thanks for pulling her in. I cannot wait to finish her book. And, you know, sometimes we think like change in life, things we want to change about ourselves, about our circumstances, about how we think and what we do is overwhelming. It's going to take forever. It's intimidating. And then somebody like her comes along and it's like, just think about it this way.
Yeah.
Right. And then they make it like, oh, okay, I can pivot here. I can change this. And then the ripple effect can be massive.
A little light bulb moment, and the change occurs, and that's the beauty of it. So, all right, well, all right. I guess we got to wrap.
Yeah, we got to go. I had enough of you.
That's right. I'm done. Be gone with you. But yes, thanks again to Steph Ziv for joining us here this morning, and for Jonna Spilbor and Carol Pesci. I am Frankenberry, and we'll be back again next week, same time, right here. So please join us again then, and until then, have yourself a good week.
You've been listening to Happy Hour with Jonna Spilbor and Carol Pesci. More life advice, real conversation, and another awesome interview comes your way next Sunday at 7 a.m. to help you live better, stress less, and laugh more. Until then, catch this week's show and others at the Happy Hour link on K104Online.com.